This episode of the Let's Talk Yoga podcast is brought to you by the Mindful Yoga Teachers Club, my monthly mentorship and online support community for yoga teachers, available for just $17 a month. More details at letstalk.yoga/mindfulyogateachersclub. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 40 of the Let's Talk Yoga podcast. I hope you are doing well, especially to all my Indian listeners who have family back in India. I hope they're safe. I hope they're healthy. I know we're seeing horrific news every day about the surge in India. I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you and your families. On the show today, I have my dear friend and photographer, Lauren Mitchell, and we're going to be talking about something a little more fun and informal. Well, I'm not sure if you would call it fun, but it's not a heavy duty yoga topic. We're talking about what it takes to get good pictures at home from your iPhone and how to work with a photographer, because I think this is something that yoga teachers struggle with a lot, just putting themselves in front of a camera and taking pictures, whether that's for our classes, our business, our blog, our social media. It's a visual medium, right? Anything with branding is a visual medium. And it's something we struggle with. At least I know I have in the past. So, and Lauren's really helped me on this journey of being comfortable in front of the camera, learning to have fun with pictures, but most importantly, helping me to plan and understand, you know, this journey of storytelling and drawing people into the conversation. And I just thought that listening to her on the podcast today will help some of you if you've been wanting to do this and you're feeling a little stuck. Okay. She's a respiratory therapist who's also a photographer. She's a mom and she just adopted a new puppy. You'll hear about this in the podcast. We also had a ton of tech issues. I've never had more tech issues. I don't know what went wrong today. It was just one issue after the other and we kept getting cut. So I hope you enjoy this interview. Some of the things we talk about are things like why pictures are important and how to actually plan and prepare for a short photo shoot at home. What do you need when you are doing this at home? The role of lighting. Can you use natural light? What type of natural light? What time of the day? Where should you be positioned in your house? What about indoor shoots versus outdoor shoots? Is there a better one? What do you wear? What color schemes? What kind of equipment do you need? How much editing work is involved in your own photo shoot? Lauren also shares a bunch of different apps that you can use to edit your phone photos, which I didn't know about, and I can't wait to check them out. She even talks about, you know, what to do with your hands and how to pose. So some really simple and actionable stuff in today's podcast. We also, towards the end of the podcast, talk about what it takes to work with a photographer and what kind of questions to ask a photographer and what to look for and how to communicate with them. And can you do group shoots? Would that be more budget friendly for yoga teachers? So we just get into all of this and a little more. And I hope you enjoy this conversation. I hope you find it helpful. And I hope it makes you feel more comfortable in slowly taking better pictures to grow your own yoga career. Okay. As always, if you enjoy this episode, please remember to post a little review for us on iTunes, share it with your yoga teacher friends, just like the podcast. And if you want a little more, then make sure you get on my email list, which you can find anywhere, even the show notes or the app that you are listening to this on. Okay. As always, enjoy this conversation with Lauren, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, my name is Arundhati, and you're listening to the Let's Talk Yoga podcast. I'm an ex-Bollywood dancer turned yoga and wellness educator. I've built a six-figure business as an immigrant, woman of color yoga teacher with no business background, no handstands, pure instinct, and the free information found on Google. If you love doing yoga and you dream of teaching it someday, this podcast is for you. We go over everything from doing and teaching yoga to scaling a small business, living a modern yoga lifestyle, and so much more.
You'll find interesting, fun, raw conversations along with some tips, tricks, strategies, and insights in this podcast. So grab your cup of chai and let's jump in.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amru. Thank you for having me.
How are you? How's your new puppy?
Well, I'm doing well. New puppy life is no joke. It is a challenge. It's a new baby. It's like a new baby. I had twins before, and now I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what it's like. I forgot. Yes, it's been fun though. He's cute.
Oh my gosh, he's adorable. I can't wait to meet him. Now, for our listeners, can you tell us how you went from being a nurse to a photographer? I know you're still a nurse, but how did this journey happen from being a nurse to becoming a photographer?
Well, I'm actually a respiratory therapist, which is very similar type of vibe of a job. But, you know, it was because we moved to the beautiful state of Washington and I had twins, like I said, and we just wanted to go out and explore the area with them, fell in love with the area, wanted to take beautiful photos, and then started having people ask if I would take photos of them, and just kind of molded into a business. And I'm so, so thankful for it. I love it. And I love being in charge of my own schedule. With that, I'm still working as a respiratory therapist and transitioning out of that. But it's been a wonderful, fun learning journey. And it's just very exciting.
You know, when I see what you do, it doesn't feel like you've gotten into this recently. You just have such a natural flair for doing this and you make it look so effortless and fun. And I think that's why people relate to you. And that's how I think we became friends, right? So you've done so many yoga pictures for me in the past, not this year, but since last year. And I've learned so much from you. And I've always told you this, I now feel more comfortable in front of the camera because of all the conversations we've had. So can you share why it's important to have pictures for a brand or a business?
Having pictures for a brand or a business really sets you apart, and it allows people to connect with you and the goodness that you want to share with them and with the world, to share your story or to share things that you can bring to the table that is a gift to other people. So having photos taken of yourself allows your face to be on your branding. People connect with people. People don't necessarily connect with a product or something like tangible. They want to connect with another human. And so having your face on your marketing and just around so people know who you are and they automatically feel more comfortable to you rather than to a business or to a product. Very important. Mm-hmm.
I like how you said people connect with people, and more so in this pandemic environment that we've been in since last year, right? With everything being a screen and us being, you know, socially distant. I think this really makes more sense when people can see another person behind the brand and connect with them. I think that's really important.
It is very important. Yeah, because you are your product in a lot of ways, and you are your business. So that allows people to be able to connect with you on an emotional level, a deeper level, and not just, you know, superficially, but on a more personal level. So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is. You are your business. That is so true, especially for yoga teachers. More often we end up showcasing, you know, just we are the product, we are the service. So you and I did this earlier in the year. We did an Instagram live about how to take pictures on your iPhone and what it takes to work with a photographer as well. And we're going to be expanding on that conversation today. But even before we get to that, is it possible for, say, anyone at home with an iPhone to be able to take, say, website-worthy pictures on their own?
Yes, it is possible with your iPhone with the proper tools as far as being prepared. Now, let's say there is really nothing like having true branding photos, something that somebody else can see, or like a photographer or a trained eye can see and direct. But I understand budgets, and it is possible to have marketing material that you take from your iPhone. I think that if you plan it properly, then it can look really nice. I mean, the iPhone photos are really nice these days. So it is possible, but you know, you just can't take away the fact that it is nice to have those real good branding photos.
Oh, absolutely.
But for say social media marketing, of course, you can take awesome, great photos with your iPhone right in your own home if you wanted to.
Okay. You said something that I really liked. You said you have to plan properly. And I must confess, I have tried taking pictures from my phone, you know, absolutely with no plan. And it has always gone south. It's terrible. And I end up deleting everything. So you always make me plan ahead of a shoot. But if someone's planning at home, what does it entail? Like, what do we need to do the night prior or the day prior to actually shooting?
Well, first of all, you want to plan according to the light, the best natural light that can come in your home. And what time does that come in? So being mindful of that days prior, actually, just to see where the light hits, where might you want to stand, and what time of the day does the sunshine come through the windows the best? That's going to be the first thing to prepare for. You can also prepare, poses. Poses are a great thing. So you're not just like fumbling through, thinking through what you want, but you have a solid plan. How are you going to use these photos? And how are you going to use the photos? And what do you want them to look like? So you plan accordingly. You can also plan outfits. And outfits are a great thing to plan. What do you want your images to look like? And what's your style? Is it bright? Is it bold? Or is it more muted? And is it pastel-y like yours? Those are a couple good things to plan for.
I finally came to a certain shade range after like doing a few shoots with you. But I remember my first time I shot with you, I brought all my brightest colored clothes. And you were like, maybe not this. What colors do you actually want? So it really helped to have your voice in my head throughout the shoot. But I want to ask you a couple of things you said. So you said we can shoot depending on the light. And you can plan that. You can look at, you know, where the best light comes in. So are you referring to that golden hour that you're talking about, or does that matter only for outdoor shoots?
That's a great question. So for in-home shoots, well, it depends on where you want to shoot. So if you're going to shoot something in your home or indoors, then your best bet is to just kind of look at the light during the day. So that could be any time of the day. It just kind of depends on when it comes in the brightest and the softest through your windows. But the golden hour light, that is something that is outdoors. So if you go outside, say at noon, in the afternoon, and the sun is at its highest point, you're going to get a lot of bright spots on your body and also in your environment, and you're going to get a lot of dark shadows. Those are not flattering. So if you're going to go outside and you're planning for a shoot outdoors, it is best to start shooting at what photographers like to call golden hour, which is the hour before the sun sets. Or if you're just, you know, spry in the morning, you can do it the hour after sun rises. But those two times of the day are the best times to get the best, beautiful, what I like to call buttery, beautiful light outside. And so that's a good time to do it. Now, overcast, and if you live in the state of Washington like we do, then, you know, you might find that overcast during the afternoon. Sometimes you might get lucky. It's unpredictable.
It is unpredictable. And I remember asking you like, oh, it's going to be cloudy and will it be okay? And that's why I think sometimes having an expert is really valuable, because you're like, no, we'll be fine. We'll shoot near a window. We'll be fine. Yeah. So for taking pictures at home, Lauren, what does someone need other than an iPhone?
Well, I think that a clear, clean background is going to always be a great spot. And so maybe just clearing out some clutter, clearing out some things that maybe moving some furniture to where you can be by the window source and also have a clean space. But as far as actual products of what you'd need, you can have a tripod. Tripods are great to use for your iPhone. I actually use what's called a gooseneck holder, phone holder. And so it swivels around really easily. It clamps onto something. I can tighten it up. So you really don't need a whole lot besides the props that you're going to want to work with and your iPhone and something to hold it on. And then you can always set timers, or I'm sure there's those, the little clickers, the little Bluetooth clickers that you can do, that you can use the remotes, but those are not completely necessary. You can always even prop your phone up in a way that is, I don't know, you can use some books to prop it up if that's how it works. But to make it smooth and seamless, a tripod or one of the gooseneck iPhone holders, those seem to really do the trick. But anything else is optional. I don't think you need much else.
Goosenecks and tripods are really helpful, because I've used a few of them myself, and they just make, you know, holding the phone up so easy. And they're cheap. They're really cheap nowadays to like get a tripod. You can get, I think, one for the one I have, I think, is $20, maybe lesser. I don't remember, but I'll look it up. So I have another question for you, because we're talking about home equipment and props. What about artificial light? I've seen, you know, in the past year, a lot of people have these ring lights and stuff like that. Would you recommend turning on artificial light?
You can turn on artificial light if it's specifically for photography purposes. Okay. So I do not recommend having your lights in your home on. I don't recommend having lamps or the lights on your ceiling. I don't recommend having those on, because they can kind of create a warm yellowy type of tone to a picture. So that's why that beautiful sunshine is the best. But then those ring lights, I do have a ring light and I really like it, because it acts as a filler. So it just kind of gives like an extra boost to what the sun kind of mimics already. So a ring light is a great option to have. I have one that sits on my desk and it's small. So you don't have to, I've seen them big ones, and you don't even necessarily need a big one, because those small ones, those even the desktop ones, put out a decent amount of light. But if you wanted to invest in a bigger one, of course, by all means. But I would just suggest to stay with the lights that are specifically for photography, but not anything else.
That's helpful. I haven't personally used a ring light, but that's really helpful. Now, do we need to edit the pictures once we take them on our phone, or should we be, you know, because we have the options in an iPhone to brighten the picture and to put all sorts of filters on it. Is that a wise move once we take pictures?
I think so. Yes. Okay. I think that it's a great idea to put you can find an app that you like. I use an app called Snapseed. And that Snapseed, it can just brighten up your brights a little bit and just add a little light, or it can, you have a little bit more room to edit a photo with that app. So you can kind of play around with it, what you like, what you don't like with it. But yes, I think that it does need to be edited, because one thing that I see that can really set a photo apart is being too dark, for one, and then also having crooked lines. I know that that is not something that we typically think about. It's not something I thought about before becoming a photographer. But if you have lines in your photos, leading lines or horizontal lines, making sure that the line is actually straight is a big deal. So I think that that would actually make your photo look a lot more professional and a lot crispier looking if your lines are nicely horizontal or nicely vertical. That's going to be one of the best things, I think, as far as editing a photo. And then you can always use different apps to throw a filter on it if you choose. Not completely necessary, just, you know, time dependent or what you want your aesthetic to look like. I use an app to edit. So I, as a photographer, you know, I go through maybe a little extra step, but I like the Snapseed app. And then I also, for apps that like to put a filter on, there's an app called Tezza, T-E-Z-Z-A, that I use routinely and that I like a whole lot. So those are a couple apps that are nice to have handy if you want to just elevate your pictures just from a little bit more to give them a little bit of extra pop.
I've got to try these myself. I've been relying on Instagram filters, but these sound more professional to me. I've got to try them.
Yeah, they're nice. They're easy too.
You know, because I just mentioned Instagram, right? So this popped into my head. When we take pictures, does this become a part of our plan where we have to have like horizontal and vertical pictures, or do we do both? Do you have any advice for horizontal versus vertical pictures?
Yes. Vertical pictures take up more space on the screen as people are scrolling down. It takes up more real estate on the iPhone. So vertical pictures perform better than horizontal pictures. Oh, so you have, nice. Yes, it takes up more of the viewpoint of the viewer. So vertical pictures are the way to go.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know. I mean, I knew that they just look nicer, but it makes full sense because they take up the whole screen.
That's
so
right.
You would say if we are doing a social media shoot, then keep a good amount of focus on the vertical pictures, correct?
That is correct. Yes. I took pictures for a blogger before, and she came back. Her feedback was, oh, I love my photos. I would really like to have more vertical photos for my blog. So blogging, social media, those vertical photos actually are the way to go.
Interesting. So for yoga teachers, we have yoga poses, which, you know, is so easy for yoga teachers to do. They know instinctively how to get into the pose and how to strike that pose and get a picture taken. Where we feel completely out of sorts is when we are not doing a yoga pose. And you taught me this. These are called more lifestyle shoots, you know, where you're just going about your day and you're doing stuff. So how does one understand what to do in a lifestyle shoot? For say, for example, if someone's like me trying to build their own business and they do not want to put yoga poses up, but they want to actually have headshots and fun pictures that would help grow their business. Any advice for what kind of shots would work well for this that are not yoga poses?
Yes. So what does your day look like? That's the question. What does your day look like? And start telling your story with that. So do you have a certain routine that you do, or what adds value to your life that you can snap a photo of and share with other people to add value to them? So you can share just talking points as far as like, do you like to get up and drink tea in the morning? Is that your routine? Do you like to read? You know, you can show photos that you are doing those things. So if reading is a part of your day, then you can snap a picture of you reading in your favorite spot. Is responding to emails a part of your day? Well, then you can set up your phone to where you're taking pictures of what it looks like maybe behind the scenes of what you're doing to grow your business or to better your life. One great thing to keep in mind is to do something with your hands. So if you're reading, you have the book in your hands. If you're making your tea, you have your cup or your coffee cup in your hands. So having your hands showing some sort of connection to something is a really good way. It just makes your photo a little bit more eye-catching.
That's so helpful. I was just thinking of the pictures we've taken. You've always had me have a cup in my hand or a book or a pen or a laptop, something to show the action that's happening. And that's really helpful. And I'm asking you this because I've been in this part, you know, I've experienced this before. Do we look at the camera? Would you suggest those make better pictures, or do we look away dreamy-eyed, or Is one way better than the other is what I'm trying to ask you.
I don't think that one way is better than the other. I think showing your face is the ultimate goal.
Okay.
However, having a mixture of both, to where you're creating eye contact with the camera, to where you're looking away and you're doing your task and showing yourself at work doing whatever task that may be. So no, I don't think that one is better than the other. I typically like having people do both, just so you have a mix of both, depending on what you want to talk about in that marketing piece.
And one more question about just, you know, props and clothing. Would you recommend that people have multiple changes and do the same poses again, or it doesn't matter, just whatever comes naturally?
You know, I think that it depends on how much time that you have. So if you're going to plan a whole day for content, or not that you have to plan a whole day, but if you're going to plan a chunk of time, an hour or 2 hours, whatever you kind of want to allot to that, I think that you could do, if you say you only have 20 minutes or 30 minutes, then stick with one outfit. But if you wanted to maybe get it all done in a day to have stuff to share for a decent amount of time, then pick a couple different outfits and do the same pose, or just zoom in a little bit more for one, or, you know, not necessarily, I probably wouldn't zoom. I don't really love using Zoom on an iPhone, but saying maybe get a different angle to that. So where it's just a, maybe a little bit closer of a picture, or it's a little bit further away. So you can kind of use the same pose, but do it in a different angle or show from a different angle. Mm-hmm.
And I think with taking pictures at home, right, Lauren, one of the things is it's trial and error, because we're not professionals. And the more we experiment with it and try it, eventually maybe we'll get better at it. But not to like try it once and be like, oh, yeah, I couldn't figure it out, and then just give up.
No, right. Yeah, that's with anything though, isn't it? Is that you're going to be bad at it maybe at first, and that's okay. Like, I think that allowed me a lot of freedom in my photography journey, is that exact thought, is that it's okay to be a beginner, and that it's okay to suck, and that if you just keep doing it and consistency, and that you try it again and you learn from that, and then you fix your problem, and then you hone in on it, and it's always going to get better. It's never going to get worse. So if you did it the first time and you're like, oh my goodness, these suck. Oh, well, that's fine. Post it and do it again. And then just keep and don't let yourself overthink or spiral into not being good enough, that it is going to be good enough, and that you can take it for what it is and then always grow from there. So I think that just getting out there and putting your foot in the toe in the water until you can just completely get in the water, I think that is the best thing to do, is that just you just keep doing it until you get better.
Mm-hmm. There are a few things I wrote down when you were talking. I wrote, it's okay to suck, because we need that reminder. We're trying to learn something new. We're trying to do something we're not used to. And especially as women, at least I tend to overthink and be like, what if it's not good? What if it doesn't look like this? What if I look stupid? And then even before the first picture is taken, I've made myself miserable. And guess what will show in that picture? Me looking miserable, right? So I think that's a really good, that's great advice. Just, it's okay to be a beginner, and it'll only get better from there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, were you a great yoga teacher to begin with?
Oh my gosh, I still don't think I'm great.
Well, I think that you are. I think that a lot of people think that you are. So, yeah, I just think that learning process, right? I mean, we could probably tell horror stories about how what we looked like in the beginning, and how just staying
mm-hmm.
at it just gets better.
Mm-hmm. I've joked with some of my teachers in the past that I should probably write an apology letter to all my first yoga students, you know, like, yes. I had no idea what I was doing. So, and it's a human experience, right? As learning to like take pictures of ourselves and get comfortable looking at ourselves. And the more you do it, it gets easier. So that's really, I'm glad you called that out.
Yeah, have fun doing it. Yes. And just like you said, if you feel miserable, then your photos are going to look miserable and you're just going to critique them to death till you don't even do anything with it. So have fun, be loose, and just let it flow to you.
Mm-hmm. And something you make me do in my photo shoots is play some fun music and be like, just get that vibe going. And then everything else will slowly fall into place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like concentrating on just like being grateful just to be there to do this with each other. Like when we have our photo shoots, let's be grateful. Like, let's think about your business and how far you've gotten to come with it and what good you're putting out into the world. And just thinking about that excitement rather than honing in on the fact that, oh gosh, what do I look like in front of the camera? But no, we just being grateful for the moment and just what we get to do with that.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. I want to move the conversation to what it takes to work with a professional photographer. Is there anything you want to add to iPhone photography and taking your own pictures before we jump to the other side?
I think we hit on most of it. I just like to remind folks to wipe your camera.
Oh, yes.
I know we all are guilty of it. Wipe that camera. Have fun. Be by a window. I think that we've nailed it.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. So most yoga teachers usually end up working with shoestring budgets for marketing and things like that. Okay. So what does it take to find a professional photographer? Rather, how do we even know if this photographer will be a good match for us?
I think that finding one is word of mouth marketing or word of mouth. I think that asking friends or people who have, if they've had any experience working with anybody, then, you know, you can find a ton of people on Instagram, but who speaks to you? Whose work do you like? Whose personality do you think that you can connect with? Then reach out and do you like their communication style? Do you have similar communication styles? And if so, then maybe that you're going to be a good fit for each other. But if you're unsure of how the connection might be, then I think that it's better, I think that it's best to take your time to find someone to ask around and to see if you can find someone that you can work well with and have a good experience with.
Mm-hmm. I remember I got to know of you because, you know, one of your clients, your neighbors is one of my teachers. So word of mouth was how I discovered you. And then I hopped onto Instagram and looked at all your stuff before reaching out to you. And I did that with a few other photographers. I think I might have told you this story before. I did that with a couple of others locally. And you were one of the few photographers who wrote back with such excitement and enthusiasm and actually came back with a few questions for me. And I was like, wait a minute, she's engaging me so much before the shoot. I'm going to explore this because it looks like we'll be able to do this together. And I think that's really important because I think striking that vibe with your photographer just makes you so much more comfortable in front of the camera and to keep looking. If you don't find someone who resonates with you, to keep looking.
Yes, that's right. And your photographer should be invested in you. You're investing your time and your money into a photo shoot. So you should find someone who is invested in making sure that you have a great experience and that you feel good and that your photos are going to be used in a way or that you're meshing as far as how do your photos want to be used and that you have a collaborative back and forth effort as far as what you want and how to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions that we should or ask photographers before we work with them?
You can ask them if they have any experience in shooting yoga instructors. You can ask them, you know, you should be able to ask them any questions that you have a question to. Where will our shoot take place? Do you have any advice on what I should wear? You feel comfortable asking them the questions because that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And speaking of where we shoot, you recommended this to me. There are these websites and apps, right, Lauren, where you can actually find places to rent. And like if you sometimes people are like, oh, I can't shoot at my house. And do you remember top of your mind what that's called?
Yes, it's called peerspace.com. So, yes, and that is, it's not in every city yet. It's only in certain cities, but finding a rental space if you wanted to shoot indoors if at a facility. But you know what's free is nature and finding a beautiful spot outside that has really nice light or a good background that you like is just as easy.
Do you think one is better than the other, or you love both equally, indoor versus outdoor?
I think both are equal and they both have their place. Outdoor is just, it's beautiful. We connect with nature outdoors. It's lovely. And so what story are you trying to tell? So we have worked together on different ways because you have, some are outside, but some are inside because we need to create a simple background or a clean background. And so we have shot indoors for that. So just depends on what vibe you want to go with and just go from there. You can do both.
Do you have any hacks for yoga teachers on, say, smaller budgets to work with photographers?
Any hacks? Well, I do believe that trying on your own would be a great option to start with as far as a hack. In the process of doing that on your own, I think that it's a great thing to slowly save up for a photographer that you do want to work with and that could really elevate your business. Every time I have invested in myself, in my business, it has come back to me tenfold. So yes, I do think that saving up, then investing in yourself, because it's going to come back. You're going to get the money back, or if the growth back, because you took the time to invest in that. So I do believe that it's a great thing to start with as far as a great beginning investment when you're really going to launch to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And is it possible for photographers to do, like, say, if a friend of mine and I want to share a shoot, can we approach photographers and be like, hey, they're two of us shooting. She's going to do like 30 minutes and I'm going to do 30 minutes. Would you do something like this? Do photographers, are they open to that?
I would be. So I think that it's a great question to ask somebody to see if you could split the time or tag team it in a way. But yeah, ask your photographer if they'd be willing to do that. I'm sure they would be.
Oh, wonderful. I think that makes it a lot more accessible to yoga teachers to be like, okay, a couple of us are going to go get this done. Any final words of advice for people who are camera shy?
Camera shy. Yes, I think that it's just to have fun. Have fun and just to feel good and to not overthink it. So just to be able to feel loose with it and doing the things that you enjoy doing. May not be taking photos, but just trying your best, and slowly I think that you will gain the confidence to get better and to feel a little bit more confident as you go. So just doing it is going to be the first step into creating that confidence that you need, that we all need, that we all feel shy in front of a camera to a degree. It can make us feel uncomfortable. It's not a natural feeling. So just getting out there and realizing that we're all human and we all feel a little funny in front of the camera, but just doing it will make you feel more confident to just continue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lauren. Can you tell the listeners where they can connect with you?
Yes, you can connect with me on Instagram at Lauren Mitchell Photos or my website, which is laurenmitchellphotos.com.
Wonderful. And for everyone listening, if you want to watch Lauren do some really fun reels, she's great at that. She's been telling me to do them for so long, but she's great at that. And I love watching those. So this has been awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for putting up with all the tech issues that we've had today.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rue. I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
If you're one of my faithful listeners who made it to the end of the podcast, thank you. I'm so excited that you listened all the way to the end. Just wanted to remind you that the Mindful Yoga Teachers Club has started and we meet once a month and you can still get in. If you're a yoga teacher and you have a couple of questions and you're looking for mentorship and you don't want to break the bank getting this mentorship advice, then make sure you go to letstalk.yoga/mindful yoga teachers club and enroll right away for just $17 a month. You can be with me and a bunch of other fantastic yoga teachers getting mentorship every single month. Okay, I can't wait to welcome you into the club. But if you love this podcast, please remember to review it, rate it, share it. We always love it when you do. As always, thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.